Hey Adoration, Sunday the 14th of February, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Lessons from the Mishkan. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lichvod Simchas HaNesuim, Shel Ari Shadni and Chavi Yud. Mazel Tov.
Good morning, B'shus, I'll be married. It's always a pleasure to be back here in the Torah Way. Not just because whenever I'm here it means that I've got a school holiday, but on the contrary, it's a pleasure to be here and to share Torah in this very august forum. B'shus Avi Mori, just want to share some Divrei Torah. We're now in the thick of the parashios of the Mishkan. Yesterday was Parsha Tetzaveh. It's a Truma, this week's Tetzaveh, and now we're, for the next several weeks, we're going to be focusing on the theme of the Mishkan. So what I would like to do is just to share some Divrei Torah, some which may be familiar, some which may not be familiar, regarding the Melechus HaMishkan generally. Now the first idea is something I saw in the writings of Rabbi Lef. It's a very, very beautiful essay that he has, and just to share some of the ideas with you. Two kashas on yesterday's parsha, two very familiar kashas. The first kasha, if you look at the box on the handout, the opening pasuk, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'yikchuli truma. So everyone asks, v'yikchuli is the inappropriate word. The word should of course be v'yitnuli truma. If someone were to stand up and to make an appeal, you would ask people to get their checkbooks out and to give money to the Mishkan. You don't take. That's the famous question. The second question that everyone asks is actually a Rashi in Vayakel, but it's related to yesterday's parasha too. If you take a look at the second box, the pasuk says, "Bahanasim heviu." So Rashi says, if you take a look at the second box, Omer Reb Nosson, "Ma ro'u nasim lehisnadev b'chanukas hamizbeach b'tchila." What was it that nasim, when it came to the Chanukas HaMizbeach, they jumped in there first. But when it came to the Mishkan, they weren't there straight away to give. Elakach Omru Nasiim. So famously the Nasiim said, Yisnadvu Tzibu Mashem Misnadvim. They said, whatever the Tzibu want to give, let them give. Whatever is lacking, we will make up. Given Sheshlimut Tzibur Esakol, when the Tzibur gave, and they gave everything, Shenem of Hamlocha Hoysedayom, they had plenty. Omru Nasim, Ma'alei Nulasos, what are we going to give? Heviu Es Avnei Shoyam, there was something they could do, they could bring the Avnei Shoyam. Lokach, when they realized that they better get in there quickly next time, Lokach Isnadu B'Chanukas HaMizbeach Tchilek, when it came to the Chanukas HaMizbeach, they were in there from the very outset. And since when they were lazy, literally, at the beginning, Yud was taken away from the name, Nasim is written without a Yud. Famous Rashi. But Rabbi Isai, you know, sometimes we're familiar with the Rashis, we're familiar with the story, but if we just stop and just think for a moment, just apply it to a contemporary situation. And I know last week, the Kollel here had a fundraising dinner. No, I wasn't there, but imagine, I don't know what the budget of the kollel is, but imagine, let's say the budget is, £200,000. And Rav Sendi Spitzer would stand up and he's about to launch his appeal at the dinner. And a few minutes before, a gvir would come up to him and say, "Tell me, Rav Sendi, what's your budget?" And he would tell them whatever it is, £200,000. So he said, "Listen, you go ahead and make your pitch, and I now give you the assurance that whatever you're short, I will make up for it. You raise £50,000, I'll give you £150. You raise £150, I'll give you £50. Whatever it is." I would imagine, Rav Sendi is a very warm person, but I would imagine Rav Sendi would dance and would hug this generous person. Why are the Nasim any different? The Nasim are saying, whatever is short, we'll make up. It's a very generous thing to do. So why are they criticized? Why is the Yud missing from there? So two questions. Number one, the famous question, the Yikchuli Truma seems inappropriate, the Yitnuli Truma. And second of all, the Nasiim, what exactly were they doing wrong? Rabbi Lev, his approach is as follows. He brings, first of all, a Gemara in Baba Basra. Interesting Gemara. If you take a look at the third box, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Yud Amud Aleph as follows. Shal Tunas Rufus Harasha Es Rabbi Kiva. Tunas Rufus Harasha asked Rabbi Kiva the following question. Im Elokeichem Oyev Aniim. If your God loves the Aniim, the poor people, Mipnei Ma'in Mefarneson. Why doesn't he give them Parnosa? Good question. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves everyone, he loves the Aniim, then why doesn't he give them Parnosa? Why does he make them poor? Omalei, says Rabbi Akiva, Kadesha Nitzel Onu Bohen Medina Shal Gehenna. It's in order that other people who give Aniim money can be saved from the din of Gehenna. In other words, giving to poor people is not for the benefit of the poor person per se. It's for the benefit of the Oshir who's going to give. And if you were to, you know, you take an objective bypasser who looks at the transaction that takes place at the door. The Oni knocks at the door, he wants to collect for something. The Balabais gives him some money. So how would anyone look at that? They'd say that the Oni has gained. On the contrary, it comes out from this Gemara that the person who's actually given the money has gained much more. If you take a look at the Medrash, the fantastic Medrash, it's a Medrash in Rus. We're familiar with the story. Rus and Naomi in a very difficult situation. Naomi's husband has died. Rus's husband has died. Arpa is long gone. And now the two of them are destitute. They've got to go around the fields collecting grain. Naomi is an older lady. So Rus goes to the fields to collect grain. She goes to the field of Boaz, who is related to Naomi, and hopefully he will be generous and he'll give us some grain. Says the Medrash in the third box, where did you reap today? Where did you go? She comes back with a massive amount of grain. You were very successful. Where did you go? Says the Medrash, Toni b'shem Rabbi Yeshua. Yoisem imashem balabais oisem ha'oni, ha'oni oisem balabais. More than the balabais give to the oni does for the balabais. Why? More, in other words, that the poor man does for the rich man does for the poor man. Why? Came omra rus l'nomi. What was Rus's response? Shame ha'ish asher osisi imoy hayom. The name of the person who I did a chesed for today was Boaz. V'loy omra asher oso imi. Not that he did to me. And asher osisi imoy. An astonishing thing. She comes along, she gets all this grain from Boaz. Not that Boaz did a chesed to her. She facilitated a chesed that Boaz could give her. He's the net winner. And that really is, we won't do it inside, but that really is what comes out from this famous Rambam in the next box. The Rambam says in the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, V'hakol if yirov ha-maisa, this is the makar of the famous Rambam that everyone quotes, that if you've got £100, better to give 100 aniyim, a pound each, rather than one generous act of £100. Of course, you've got to take into consideration the needs of the Oni. But in as much as it conditions the giver to become a better giver, it does more for him. It's the same idea. The focus is not so much on the recipient, but on the giver. So you see from this, the focus is on the balabais, he's gaining so much more. And I think this helps us understand an approach to the two questions that we started with. Oral questions, v'yichuli truma, you should say v'yitnu, you're giving. Well, obviously the answer is that the person who gives is actually gaining so much more. Years ago, a person went to the Chofetz Chaim, and he said to the Chofetz Chaim, he wants to underwrite the costs of the yeshiva for a year. Now, I'm sure you've all been there. You have a Rosh Kodal, a Rosh Hashiva, who comes and collects. Now, in fact, I had a fellow I bumped into a week or two ago. He's here from Eretz Yisrael. So I was talking to him. I said, so he's a Rosh Kodal, a very choshev fellow from London, from Manchester actually originally. And I said to him, how often are you on the road? And he tells me he's got to go to London, and then he goes to South Africa, he goes to South America. He spends a lot of time going around collecting. That, unfortunately, is the lot of the Rosh Hashiva and the Rosh Kodal. All he wants to do is sit and learn and teach in his kodal and his yeshiva. But that is his lot. One time, a fellow went to the Chofetz Chaim and said he would like to underwrite the expenses of the yeshiva and radin for a whole year. And the Chofetz Chaim said, no, I can't let you do that. Now, if you would go to any Rosh Yeshiva, go around collecting today, he would jump at the chance. He wants to do what his desire is to teach Torah, not to go around collecting. What was the svara of the Chofetz Chaim? An amazing svara. He says, I cannot allow you to monopolize the zechus of supporting the Radin Yeshiva. It's a zechus, it's a merit which needs to be shared with other people. You cannot monopolize that zechus by yourself. A remarkable approach. But that's exactly the point. The Pasuk says, Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim bo. The Torah is compared to a tree of life. Lemachazikim bo. We're now, it's a beautiful day, cold. But you take a look at a tree, and you would see you have a leaf which is attached to the tree. If that leaf would detach from the tree, it would fall off. You'd see after a couple of days it would change color, it would disintegrate, it would be gone. Once the leaf has left the tree, it's had it. But if the leaf is attached to the tree, then it retains its vitality. The point is that a person thinks he's giving, he's helping, he's actually gaining so much more. And that's really the answer to our two questions. The Yigchuditrim, of course, because he's gaining so much more. The Nasiim, what was their mistake? The mistake is that they thought that they actually need to help. Their mistake was that they thought that it's possible to have a shortfall. There's no shortfall from the perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He'll have his Mishkan. The question is, do you want the zechus to give? They say that when Rabbi Aaron Kotler would go around America in the 40s and 50s and would build Torah in America, he never actually asked the person directly for money. He would just sit there and he would just pitch about the importance of Torah. Now, if you want to have the zechus to be a part of it, you can give. But he would never directly ask a person for money. That's the perspective. Giving is a benefit for the person who gives. They say, I think the story that brings it out the best, an amazing maisa with Reblazer Gordon. Reblazer Gordon was the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, who, funny enough, is buried here in London, which is another story. But Reblazer Gordon, as a young man, was the up-and-coming Torah scholar of his day. And he married the daughter of a man called Avraham Yitzchok Neviezer. And as a young man, he lived with his father-in-law in the house, and he sat in the Beis HaMedrash the whole day to develop and to become the great Rosh Hashiva that he was destined to become. And after a few years, job offers came through, various shtelas came along. And one after the other, he kept rejecting, he's not ready yet, he needs to work on himself more to gain more Torah knowledge. And at one point, Avraham Yitzchok Neviezer's wife said to her husband, you know, the offers are coming through, how long are we going to continue to support him for? And he responded, who knows who is supporting whom? And more offers came through. And she said to him, how long are we going to support him for? Who knows who is supporting whom? Eventually, I think it was the position of Aishashok came along, a very important, prestigious kehila. And he felt it was the right time for him to now accept this position. And he took the position. After many years of becoming this famous Torah personality. And the day came when the carts and the horses came for him to move off and to take leave of his parents-in-law, and Reblazer Gordon and his wife and young family, they left the home. And on the day when he left his parents-in-law's house, the father-in-law, Rabbi Neviezer, passed away. And it became very clear who was supporting whom. In other words, more than the rich man, more than the poor man gains, that the rich man gains much more. And that is the answer to our two questions. The Yikhuli Truma, he gains so much more. And second of all, the Nasiim's, their mistake was that there's such a thing as a shortfall. Their zechus was to latch onto it. And by the way, that's why the letter Yud is taken away. Because if you take away the Yud from Nasiim, it can be read Nisso'im, which means they will be carried. Famously, the Aron, no one actually carries the Aron. All the other Kalim in the Mishkan, you take the Kalim, and you carry it, and it gets to its death. But the Aron, it's Noseis Nosov. So it hovers over the shoulders of the person who carries it. He's not actually carrying it. The message, of course, is that anyone who supports Torah, you are being carried through supporting Torah. And therefore the Yud is taken away, so it can read Nisso'im. They are being carried through Torah. That was the mistake of the Nasim. Okay, let's move on. Paragraph, the next page, paragraph 2. This is a very, very beautiful idea that, again, may be well known. The story in the Gemara in Brachas is certainly well known. The Gemara in Brachas, you'll remember, tells the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in Tfilas HaShachar, famous Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua have a dispute. And Rabbi Gamliel was the Rosh Hashiva. And people weren't happy with the way Rabbi Gamliel dealt with Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore he was deposed from his position of being the Rosh Hashiva. They had to appoint a new Rosh Hashiva, and they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, interestingly, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a very different approach as to who they would accept in the yeshiva. A different entrance policy. Rabbi Gamliel had a very, very strict policy. His policy was that any student had to be toichei kabare. Yeah, and it's based on a pasuk in yesterday's parasha, that the Aron was covered with gold on the outside, gold on the inside. And the Gemara says, any Talmud Chacham, she'in toichei kabare, any Talmud Chacham is not inside like his outside, it's not a Talmud Chacham. So based on that, Rabbi Gamliel said, well listen, I'm only accepting top quality boys, boys who are toichei kabare. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a different policy. He accepted anybody. And the Gemara says, it toifsu safsalim, that they increased benches, as the Gemara in Petra Sashacha, some say 400 benches, some say 700 benches. Just by the way, it's an interesting lashon. You'd have thought that if more people came to the Beis HaMedrash, you'd say, you know, it toifsu bachrim. Hundreds more bachrim came to the Beis HaMedrash. Why safsalim? So I heard once, in the name of the former Gates Hedrov of Rakov, he said a beautiful insight. He said, who were these boys who now came to the Beis HaMedrash? They weren't your top level boys. They were tier 2. They weren't the Toichei Kabare. So who were they? They were more focused on the material qualities of the yeshiva. They were focusing more, not so much on what the shiur was like, they were focusing on the safsalim. They were focusing, what are the seats like? What are the benches? What are the dormitories like? You know, it's interesting, in school, we have, between Sukkot and Hanukkah, we have, Baruch Hashem, many Rosh Hashivas who come along and who, you know, trying to recruit young men to join the yeshiva. And it's interesting what their pitch is. Some of them speak about the you know, the shiurim and the magidishur and the Rosh Hashiva, the mashkiach and this. And others speak, we've got this dormitory, we've got a basketball court, we've got that. Okay, they're pitching to different types of boys, but that's exactly the point. Itosu safsalim, the benches. Anyway, the Gemara carries on and says that after they relaxed the policy, many more boys came to the Beis HaMedrash. So the Gemara continues and says that Rabbi Gamliel got very upset. He saw that all of a sudden the Beis HaMedrash was bursting, and he got upset. He said maybe Chas V'Shalom he was Monea Torah from Klal Yisrael. He held back Torah from Klal Yisrael. Okay, but the Gemara carries on. The Chidush Erim asks the Kasha. He says, I don't understand. Rabbi Gamliel knew that he could fill the yeshiva without any problem. I mean, what did Rabbi Gamliel's desk in his Rosh Hashiva's office look like? There must have been dozens of applications of boys who didn't cut the mustard, he didn't quite make it, they weren't Toichei Kabare, and he rejected them. So he knew that he could have filled the Beis HaMedrash. So why did he get so upset when he saw, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah relaxed the policy, you got a full Beis HaMedrash? He knew he could have done the same. Says the Chiddushim, an amazing idea. What Rabbi Gamliel didn't appreciate, perhaps, was the transformative power of Torah. I.e., boys who were not Toichei Kabare could come to the Beis HaMedrash and they could become Toichei Kabare. Yeah. That's the power of Torah. And that's perhaps what Rabbi Gamliel regretted. He didn't give these boys opportunities to become Toichei Kabare. An astonishing thing. What exactly is Toichei Kabare? It's a sincerity. It's seeing something which is genuine, which is sincere, and it's interesting. Kids, students and children, they can detect any insincerity very, very quickly. And that's l'tovin l'ra. It's sometimes they see it and it's a problem. You tell kids certain things in school, a certain halacha, and they don't see the same at home. It's a problem. But you also see it l'tovin. I remember once hearing, there's a Rebbe in JFS. Now JFS, I've got a very broad range of students. And they have one, from what I understand, they have 1 minion for mincha there every day. And in the winter, you've got a short window to daven mincha. With us in Hasmonean, there's mincha, of course, every day. And it's more than they daven in four rooms, and it's like a shtibel factory at some points. But there, they've got one minyan. Now, this Rebbe, if you're teaching in that in lunchtime, whenever they daven mincha, then you've missed it. I sometimes have the same problem. I'm on the girl's side as well. It's a struggle to get a minyan on the girl's side. So I've got to go to the boy's side. Okay, so we can sometimes do it. Fine. But this fellow was teaching, he had an appointment, I don't know exactly what, but he missed mincha. So he's in school all afternoon. By the time he gets home, he has to daven mincha in the Beis HaMedrash there, beautiful Beis HaMedrash. So he's davening b'yechidus at some point when he has a free period in the afternoon at 3:30 or whatever. And it's getting dark, Shkia is about to, is not long off, and he's davening quietly in the Beis HaMedrash. And he finished when Esther, and he's davening tachnun. Nefilas Apayim. And a fellow, he's davening, he's putting his, you know, as we all know, he puts his head in his shoulder, in his arm. And at that moment, a boy walks in. And here's a boy who's not a religious young man. And he suddenly is struck with this remarkable vision of seeing his Rebbe in a dark Beis HaMedrash on his own in a very submissive gesture with his hands in his arm. And that is such a powerful sight. That's such a sincere act. No one's telling him to daven. No one knows he's davening. He just happened to come to Beis HaMedrash for a second, so he forgot something there. And that turned him around. He now is from today based on that vision that he saw. He sees Teicha Kabari, he sees something sincere, makes a roshan. Okay. Two more Divrei Torah. As someone in Chinuch, they talked to me very loudly. Two very beautiful Divrei Torah. We won't have time for the fifth idea, but the three and four we will. There is a very interesting mechilta. Let's go through it together. This is the girls' school right now. We're in Poland. And I spoke to one of the teachers on Thursday. They were in Lublin, in the yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, which many of you may have been to or seen. But Rav Meir Shapiro, his vort on this week's parish, on this mechilta, really typifies his whole approach educationally. What he did 100 years ago, by building the yeshiva in Lublin, it transformed the way people look at yeshiva bachrim. He built this fantastic yeshiva in a time when yeshiva bachrim had to, you know, esenteg, and they were, you know, poverty stricken, and he raised the profile. But it really, you'll see how it fits in so beautifully with this idea. Take a look at this mechilta. It says in the pasuk, it's a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, Eloi he chesef, Eloi he zohav. Says the mechilta, Lomo Nemar. Why does it say Eloi Chesef Eloi Zohav? Lefi Sheho Eimer V'asisa Shnaim Kruvim Zohav. You've got to make two Kruvim. These two Kruvim that sat on top of the Aron, you've got to make them out of gold. Omar Hareini Oisa Abo. If a person says, I'm going to make four Kruvim. Talmud Loimer Eloi Chesef Eloi Zohav. V'asafta Shnaim. If you make any more than two, Hari Heim Ke Eloi He Zohav. They're like idols. They're like golden idols. Do not make more than two. So it continues the Mechilta. Eloi Hechesef. They've got to be made out of gods of silver. Lomo Nema. Why does it say that? V'halei kva nema Eloi Hezov. I know you can't make idols. So why does it add Eloi Hechesef? U'matam u'lom Eloi Hechesef. L'fi shemotzinu kol kli beis olamim. An amazing thing. You see with all the kelim in the Mishkan, shem ein lohem shel zov, hein oisen es shel kesef. If you run out of gold, there's a recession, the menorah is broken or lost or whatever, and you need to make a new menorah. If you can't make it out of gold, make it out of silver, with all the kelim. Shomea ani af shnayim kruvim kein. I might have thought the same is true with the kruvim. If you can't afford to make them out of gold, make them out of silver. Talmud loimer lohi chesef. Ha'im shenisim mishal zov, harim kelei chesef. If you don't make them out of gold, and you make them out of silver, they're like idols to me. In other words, says the Mechilta, with all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, if you can't make them out of gold, you can make them out of silver. The only exception of the Kruvim have to be made out of gold. Why? Says Rav Meir Shapira, the Lubliner Rav, because the Kruvim represent chinuch. They represent children, that's what they are, angelic children. We have a few of those in school. Please get more. Sitting on top of the Aron, which is Torah. When it comes to chinuch, there is no such thing as good enough, or as okay, it's just about. It has to be golden standard. It has to be outstanding. With other things, we can be silver, it can be lower, But when it comes to chinuch, when it comes to the kruvim, it has to be made out of gold, which is a very powerful message. You've got to get the best teachers, you've got to get the best... That's how it is. That's what Meir Shapira says. As I said, it fits in so beautifully with his whole outlook on chinuch. And the next and final vort is something I heard from Rabbi Malcolm Herman, a very, very beautiful idea, one of my favorite ever Divrei Torah. He says it in the name of Dinah Abramsky. An astonishing idea. The kelim in the Mishkan were made l'dayus. That means they were made for all time. So the Mishkan, all the kelim, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, the Menorah, they were made for all time. The only exception were the Chatzotzros. The Chatzotzros were made again in each generation. How exactly that worked, I don't know. Maybe when the Kohen Gadol would die, they would take the Chatzotzros, they would bury them, they would make them afresh. But the question is why? Why is it that all the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, why is it they were made l'dayus for all generations, but the Chatzotzros had to be made afresh for each generation? Says Dinah Abramsky, an astonishing idea. What are the Chatzotzros? The Chatzotzros represent the PR system, the communication system. The Chatzotzros were used to communicate to the people. Says Dan Abramsky, the Torah is eternal. The message of Torah is for all Doris. But the method of communication has to change for each generation. In other words, imagine, I would say, the generation before me, my parents, my father's generation. I would imagine when he was in school, you'll tell me, you would have a blackboard and you'd have chalk. That's how the teachers would write. When I was in school, you had a whiteboard and you have the black pen, black marker. Now in school, for my children's generation, you have interactive whiteboards. You have projectors, that's the next generation. When I'm sitting learning, it's the same Bob Metzia, it's the same Baba Kama, it's the same Shchumish, it's the same Rashi, it's the same Halacha. The message of Torah is eternal, but the method of communication has to change for each Dor. That's what the Chazal is saying. So all the Kelim are L'dayus, but the Chatzotzros, which represent the method of communication, that has to change for each Dor. You've got to speak to the Dor in their language. Nowadays you don't talk, you just text to them. That's their language. So you've got to know how to do it. You've got to use technology. But that's an important yesod. It's a very, very important yesod. So just to summarize the Divrei Torah that we've said. The first idea was from Rabbi Lev. He said two kashas. Why did it say v'yikhu, not v'yitnu? Second of all, what's this whole business with the Nesi'im? What did they do wrong? The teretz is, of course, that a person who gives tzedakah is gaining so much more. The Nesi'im's mistake was they thought there was a shortfall. There's no shortfall with respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Their mistake was they didn't jump and latch onto it. That was their mistake. That's what the Moreh Bava Basra says. That the benefit, the reason for giving tzedakah is for the benefit of the rich man, not the poor man. That's why Rus would turn around and say the chesed that I did for Boaz, not that he did for her. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim wouldn't allow in his yeshiva, for some one person to underwrite all the expenses of the yeshiva. One person cannot monopolize this tremendous sechus. And that was borne out by the story with Rav Lezer Gordon. The Chiddush Arim with the Teicha Kabar, an amazing idea. The Rav Gamliel's upset was that he regretted the fact that he didn't realize the transformative power of Torah. That people who were not first quality, first level, they through Torah, they became Teicha Kabara. That is the transformative power of Torah. Rav Meir Shapira's Vark, that all the kelim have to be made out of gold. They can't be made out of gold, they can be made out of silver. Chutz, except for the kruvim, because when it comes to kruvim, which is the representation of chinuch, it has to be top-notch, it has to be outstanding. And finally, the outstanding vort of Dan Abramsky, that all the kelim were made l'dayrus, with the exception of the chatzotzros. The chatzotzros had to be made afresh, because Torah is eternal, the message is eternal, but the method of communicating that message has to change for each dor.